We have determined that parents aren't perfect. They never have been. They never will be. But in spite of that, God has called us and He's given us this incredible privilege and responsibility to ignite this fire of Christ in our kids, to kindle this passion for Christ inside of our children's hearts. So the next logical thing that comes to mind here is then, if that's the case, then how do I as a parent set the pace with my kids? I've been called to set the pace. That's really tricky business because I am supposed to set a good example and raise my children right. Right? Yes? Or is that really right? See, setting the pace with our kids is really not an easy task. And so what I want us to do tonight is to realize that setting the pace goes much deeper than setting a good example, doing the right things, raising our children to do the right things, but really kind of stepping back from that a minute and saying, okay, let's get God's perspective here and ask the question, how in the world do I get God's perspective so that when I am setting the pace with my children, I have a clear understanding as to exactly what that pace is supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like. So let's pursue God's perspective. Having talked with parents all over the country and around the world, I can tell you this, that most evangelical parents, parents who say that they are followers of Jesus, actually have the ladder leaned against the wrong wall. And when I say that, here is the question that we're asking. We put the ladder against the wall, and here's the question we ask. How do I help my children turn out right? So we have that ladder against that wall, and we begin to climb that ladder, and as we climb it, we begin to fall into all kinds of difficulties, and the rungs begin to break because it's the wrong question. It's the wrong question. It's a question about performance. It's a question about achievement. It's a question of extrinsic motivation, not internal motivation. And so we have this ladder against the wrong wall. Yes, we say we follow Jesus, but then all of a sudden we turn totally away from what the Scripture says and we lean the ladder against this wall. You say? Then if it's against the wrong wall, what's the right wall? Well, let's take the ladder, go over here to this wall and put it over here, and we put it against this wall. What's the right question? Here's the right question. It's not how do I help my children turn out right, but the right question is, how do I help my children love Jesus more? That's the right question. How do I help my children love Jesus more? Well, that's your opinion, Barry. Where do you find that? Well, let's go back to the Scripture. Go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And I want you to see that passage of Scripture. Because in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, we see a very important passage of Scripture that gives us a perspective on what we're supposed to be doing to set the pace as parents. Moses has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the desert, around the desert. Now they're on the verge of the promised land. He's an old man, and he's getting ready to give his final speech. Do you think he put any preparation or thought into that? All those years. And he's thinking back, saying, what is the most important thing that I can say to these people that will take them across the river and in the next step of their journey? And here's what he says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Then he says, take these commandments upon yourselves And then he goes on to say, impress them upon your children, and you do it when they lie down and when they rise up, when you're sitting around the house, and when you're doing carpool. My translation there. When you're doing carpool, when you, and then if that's not enough to remind you of how important this is, then write these things on your forearm and put them across your forehead, put them on your face. And then if that's not enough, write them on your door frames, put them on the gate of your house. Make sure that you communicate this one message as you live by this one message. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That was his talk. That was it. He outlined some things that followed along after that, but that was the message. And you know what I would suggest to you tonight? Just to take a lot of the parenting pressure off, to simplify it, bring it way down for us. One message. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. See, our relationship to God is a matter of the heart. And he's asked us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This command he says here, notice he doesn't skip over a generation and say, impress this on your children's heart. He says, impress this, take this into your heart. And once this is in your heart then, you can then begin to impress it upon your children's heart, imprint on their little hearts and minds what it is that God has in mind for them and the way they're to love him. God has given us the privilege and the responsibility to impress this one message on our children. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We've all heard this old, well-worn phrase that goes like this. Christianity's more caught than taught. And maybe, possibly, the reason that phrase is so well-worn is because it's true. And I would come to us this evening and simply say to us that our kids are going to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength when they see us modeling that before them. And when that's coming out of our very pores, when we love God from the top of our head to the tip of our toe, with every fiber of our being, with all that's within us, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then the result of that is going to be that our kids will see that in our relationships, in our attitudes, in our priorities, and in our actions. They will see it in the things that we do incorrectly and the things that we do correctly, in the mistakes that we made and the things that we do well. See, it's more than merely mouthing the right words. It's our life. It's our life. And we all fall short of that. And yet God's called us to it. This week I was had a doctor's appointment. And I was tired, and I was reading a magazine, and I was just doing whatever the doctor said. And really, I fell asleep at the wheel. Not literally at the wheel of my car, but I fell asleep in just kind of wandering through the zone in my way through his office. And I was there to get something for insurance. He said, we'll cheat on this a little bit. He said, just look in, do this, look in here, and we'll cheat on this. Well, I'll write it up, and we'll get it covered. Didn't faze me, didn't even cross my mind if there's anything wrong with that at the time. And then I follow through with the doctor. I'm doing what the doctor says. Get out of there. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit speaking to me says, what in the world went on in there? He mentioned cheat. And your antennas didn't even go up. And it was really a fascinating thing as God began to say to me, you know, your whole purpose in life is to love me from head to toe. And I don't care how much it costs you or what it takes, I want you to make this right. And I said, God, I really do want to make this right. And so after about an hour run of processing this through, I was out running and I kind of processing the whole thing through. Went back, called the doctor, said, I had to say, doctor, I am so sorry to have to break the news to you here, but I can't use that test you did because my whole purpose in life is to love and honor God. And doing this really wouldn't allow for me to do that. Let me tell you something. That was not easy. I hated doing that. To tell you the honest truth, I hated doing that. But it was one of those things where, as a parent, where I don't want my children to lie. Correct? Okay? So here I am. I lied. So can I just get by with lying, but then I tell them, don't lie? See, all the studies that you look at will show you one common thread. That the children who grow up in the church who rebel are the children of parents who say the right words, but their actions don't follow through. Hypocritical would be a word that comes to mind. So here's what parenting really boils down to. It's very simple. Parenting boils down to our kids being passionate about what we're passionate about. And if we're passionate about Jesus, our kids will be passionate about Jesus. So let me just ask you this question. Simple question. Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you passionate about Jesus? Well, some of you are saying, you know, I would like to be. I'm not sure that I am, but I would really like to be. Well, I'm going to give you two simple actions that you can take to move in that direction. Some of you are saying, yes, I am, but I would like to pursue Him more. Then I want to give you these same two simple actions to move us in a direction. Here are the two simple actions. You ready? Are you ready? They're so simple that I'm almost embarrassed to tell you what they are. And yet they're so profound that when put into action, they will guide everything you do as a parent. Here it is. First action. Invite Jesus. Invite Jesus to be the center of your life. Invite Jesus to be the center of your life. You say, okay, I've grown in the church. I know about that. Did that. Been there, done that. Did that when I was 8, 16, 22, whatever. Let's go on. And I would simply say to you, from my own personal perspective, my own life, I would say, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, I don't know about you, but for me personally, yes, I have invited Jesus to come into my life, but to keep Jesus at the center of my life is a struggle for me every single day. And so to have Him as the center of my life is not something that comes easy to me. And I would assume that if you're like me, it probably doesn't come easy to you either. There's a Christian businessman who had a man who was mentoring him. And this mentor gave him an assignment. He said, I want you to come next week and I want you to bring a black box. And in that black box, I want you to bring the one thing that is most important to you in your life. Well, this man had no problem finding the black box. He brought the black box, but he brought four or five things with him to go in the box. And when he got to the session with his mentor, the mentor said to him, I see you brought the black box, and I see you've got four or five things, but that wasn't the assignment, so go back and bring the one thing that goes in the black box. And he struggled with that all week long. Family, friends, business, kids. And in the end, as he tells the story, he put Jesus in the black box as the one most important thing in his life. But it was hard for him, and it's hard for me. And I would suggest and guess that if you're honest, it's hard for you. Putting Jesus in the black box is a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing for dads. We get consumed with our business. We get consumed with all of the priorities that that takes, and it's hard work, and we're up early, and we're working late. And sure, Jesus can be in the midst of all that, but sometimes it all gets out of balance, and our priorities are all messed up, and suddenly we realize, I've lost my passion here. I've lost my priority and direction. Or some of us are into hunting, some of us are into athletics, and that just sort of overrides everything and takes on a passion of its own, and we lose that passion for Christ in the midst of these other passions. And for moms, it's hard for moms. Because what I understand about moms is that what you really want to put in that black box and what you really struggle with is putting those babies in the black box, putting your children in the black box. Because your children are so important to you and so much a part of your life and so tied into you that it's very difficult for you to separate out and say, no, I'll put Jesus in here over and above my children. I suggest to us that it's a struggle to put Jesus in the black box. But tonight I want to simply give you a challenge, and the challenge is this. Choose now, and from now on every day, to make Jesus the center of your life. And in doing so, then there will be this love for God that will begin to bubble up from the inside, and you will be able to say, I do love God. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Second action that I would like to give you here. Just as simple, just as profound. Ask Jesus to be the center of your home. Invite Him. Invite Jesus to be the center of your home. Invite Him to be the center of your home. Looking on back on 28 years with Carol, our message would be, if we stood up here together tonight and spoke to you, we would say, make Jesus the center of your home. In my year and a half with Jenny, if Jenny was standing along here with me, and I do hope you get to meet her sometime, she's a beautiful, beautiful 16-year-old, she would stand here and say, you know, my dad and I, we made Jesus the center of our home. As chaotic and crazy as it was, as painful as it was for us, we made Him the center of our home. And if Luana was here with me tonight, she would say, Barry and I have made Jesus the center of our home. And I want to suggest to you tonight that that is an extremely valuable and important thing for you to do. You say, well, I can't choose for my spouse, I can only choose for myself. I agree. And if one of you is going one direction, another one's not where the other one is, then you as an individual, choose for yourself to make Christ the center of your home. And what will happen as a result of that is that there will be in your home this sort of family corporate love for Christ that will begin to blossom forth and spring forth out of your home. Even if there's just one of you who's moving in that direction. You know, it's a fascinating thing, but most often when we talk about these kinds of things and we're talking about setting the pace and doing these kind of things, we immediately go to external observances. And so some of you may be thinking here, well, what he is really recommending here is that we start having family devotions. Now, if you're doing that and doing it well, God bless you. We always struggle with it ourselves, okay? We got more than 3-4 minutes. We were really doing well. Some of you may think I'm saying, get more involved in church, be here more often. I'm not saying any of those things. As commendable as those things are, and you have to find where all that fits for you, here's what I'm saying. I want to give you one simple practical clue that has worked for us, and that's this. Bring your decisions to the altar and let that be the guiding factor that will cause you to set the pace with your family. In our home, for 28 years, we had this wood table. The boards were sort of warped. I mean, it was nothing to write home about, let me assure you. Black legs on the thing and brown stained top. But let me tell you, around that table, there was lots of laughter, lots of tears, lots of discussions, lots of arguments, lots of things went on around that table. But one of the things that happened around that table that was incredibly valuable was that that's the place that Carol and I came to talk about and pray over and make the decisions of our family. And we had a family meeting, we would gather there and we would talk about and pray over and make decisions as a family. And when we had an issue with one of our children or a decision with one of them, we would come to that table and we'd make the decision around that table. So it became sort of a family altar, a place where we made our decisions. And I would say that when you're making decisions, saying, Jesus, I want you to be the center of my home, and I'm offering them up to you, and I'm saying to you that I want to make this decision on the basis of what you tell me to do, because I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and it's coming from inside of me, then I would suggest to you that you are setting the pace, and your kids will catch that, and they will see that, and they will sense that, and they will join you in that. And you'll begin to see your family have a spiritual center because you personally have that center and because your family has that center. And as you center on loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, then whatever imperfections there are, issues you're dealing with in your home, the result will be that your kids will catch that central message of the Old Testament that Moses mentioned to us and that Jesus said and is recorded in all four of the Gospels, repeated again and again as the core of the New Testament. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and in that, we set a pace with our kids that simplifies our parenting, simplifies everything we're doing, brings us down to one core message, and then we pursue it and they pursue it, and the result is that we have a family where our decisions are being made on the basis of who Jesus is, His love for us, and our love for Him.